Well, welcome, Gloria. We're glad you're here. So tell me, what prompted you to come in and give your story today?
Well, I saw a little ad or an advertisement maybe in the Oregonian about that they wanted people who had been in the area for quite some time to come in and talk about the library.
Yeah, what's it mean to you? Yeah.
Yeah, and it is. The library, the library when I was a kid was my sanctuary.
Ah.
I attended and graduated, yay, from James John Elementary School, which is right across the street from the St. John's Library. And then I went to Roosevelt and graduated, and then I went to Portland State and graduated, yay. But when I was in grade school, and it was kindergarten through eighth grade, I had majority of really wonderful teachers. But when I would get done with school, my mother was very involved in community stuff and did a lot of volunteering, and I would go to the library and read.
Ah.
And if my parents could not find me, they knew where I was, that I was in the library. And so they'd call the library, and the librarian would come over and say, Gloria, it's time to go home. And I'd say, okay. But I loved reading, and I still love reading. And I love the feel of a book in my hands. I can't get into the e-reader thing, or I don't know. I've tried. Friends have loaned me theirs, and it's like, this doesn't feel the same. I'd like to have a book.
I agree. I'm the same way. I haven't tried a Kindle or one of the e-readers, but there's just something about holding a book there's just nothing like it.
Yeah, and once in a while, I go down to Powell's for their signings, and a couple years ago, a Professor Brinkley from Texas, who does a lot of historical stuff, he wrote a book about Theodore Roosevelt, and I went down, I think the thing cost me $25 or $26, but I bought it, and then I stood in line, and we had to put down on a piece of paper what we wanted him to write.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him write, once a Teddy, always a Teddy. And he looked at me, and I said, well, I went to Theodore Roosevelt High School, and we were called the Teddies. Now they're called the Rough Riders. And we always thought of ourselves as cute, fluffy little teddy bears. But I really enjoy reading still.
So as a child, you partook of the reading, the books. Did you partake of any of the other services that they had as a child?
You know, I don't remember that they had any. I mean, because we're talking about back in the 50s. And I don't know if they did. And I was one of these crazy little kids that was really active in a lot of stuff. I belonged to a swim team. I was in Campfire Girls. And when I was about 12, I joined Job's Daughters. And so I had a lot of extracurricular activities. I couldn't run I never could run. So I didn't play basketball because that required running.
Yeah.
But I could swim, and I could play tennis, and I could be in different community groups. So, no, isn't that funny? I don't remember what the library had.
Other
than books.
I didn't grow up in Oregon, so I can't help you with that one.
It's terrible. I don't even remember if the library was open 7 days a week, because I was only in there after school on Monday through Friday.
Do you remember getting your first library card?
Kind of, sort of. It was paper.
Uh-huh.
And I had it for a long time. I'm sure that someday I will open a box that I stored things in, and I'll probably find it. But when I came back to Oregon in the end of 2009, I couldn't find a library card. So I went down to St. John's, and they gave me a new card with digital stuff on it and a number that Thank God my computer remembers the number. And so at least there's no picture on it. You know, it's not like a driver's license, you know. So, no, I mean, I grew up in St. John's. I'm so Oregon, I was born at Emmanuel Hospital and moved away for a while up to Bellingham, Washington for about 8 years and then moved back down to Eugene. And it seemed like every place I went, I would find the library and get a library card because that was my warm, fuzzy place. That was where I felt safe. That's where I felt safe. And my kids always had library cards.
So you've encouraged them to be readers and to take advantage of the library services too.
I wish they'd done more, but they did all graduate from high school and go on to university, so I suppose I should be happy with that little bit.
Definitely.
Isn't it funny? When we were in Eugene, we lived very close to the University of Oregon campus, and so I was taking classes, but that gave me access to the library. And so my kids grew up with the University of Oregon library, never even thinking about that libraries were small. And then when I came up to Portland, it was like, ooh, this is cool. I remember the Central Library. This is a wonderful place.
It is a wonderful building. It really is.
I mean, I'm sure that there's parts of it that definitely need to be renovated or whatever. But
well, they did a renovation 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah,
they did a major renovation down there. So.
We were back in Washington, D.C. several years ago, and one of the things that was on our list to visit was the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And walking in the front door of that was like, oh, wow. And we were in our 40s, and we were like little kids going, oh, look at this. Oh, my God, look at that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty incredible. The Smithsonian was cool, but the Library of Congress and the Supreme Court building were like, wow. it's like did I use the library? Yes. How long have I lived in the area? Well, basically, over 70 years, but I run away and I come back, and now I'm back in St. John's, and as far as we know, we're gonna stay. We've gone to other places. We taught in China at universities for about 8 years, and that's when I realized what great libraries we had here in Oregon, because the Chinese libraries are really they're pretty bad, and it's they're just school libraries are non-existent. Now we came back in 2009, and they were just starting to shove computers into everything, and everybody's got a computer over there. Everybody's got a laptop or something, and books are like, really? Why do I want to pick up a book? You know, I'll just pick up my computer. And they're missing something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. They are missing something. So obviously you've used the books. Do you use any of the other services currently at the library?
I have an account, and I'm online, and so I can go in and order like movies or books. If I read a book review, then I will plug it into the search thing, and usually I am on a waiting list forever and ever. So it's like a surprise. Oh, the book's in. Well, everybody else has read it. I love it. I love using the online for TV programs. When you are away from the States for almost 14 years, you miss a lot of programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are now in the process of watching, oh God, it's about Washington, D.C. It's got Kevin Spacey in it.
House of Cards.
Yes. Well, we saw the House of Cards, the British one, and it was just, I'm sorry, I like Kevin Spacey, but The House of Cards, the British version, was just, yes! He was so incredibly evil.
So you're getting that via DVD, I assume?
Yes.
Or are you, okay.
No, we get the DVD, and then we either binge and watch, you know, a whole disc, which is 3 or 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The other program that we picked up on, friends talking to us and saying, oh, you must watch, was the program Weeds. And really thought it was funny the first season. And then the second and third season, well, this is really boring. You know, nah. But the one that we really like, and I guess it's on television right now for maybe the 5th or 6th year, is Justified. It's about a United States Marshal who is definitely not your straight-laced United States Marshal that most of us know and love from the federal bureaucracy. And we just absolutely fell in love with him. And so now we've got to wait until it goes on DVD because
the first 4 seasons?
We've seen the first 1, 2, 3, I think 3.
The first 3.
I think we're on the waiting list, if it's even out yet, for 4. But I order books like The Roberts Court, which was written by Marcia Coy, because I really like her because she's on OPB all the time. And her insight into the court is really interesting. What was the other one? Doris Goodwin, The Bully Pulpit.
Oh, yes, Teddy Roosevelt. Coming back to Teddy.
And Taft.
Coming back to Teddy.
And I was just fascinated. Well, it's about journalism more than anything else, but most of the stuff about Theodore I knew, but Taft, I didn't know half the stuff that she's talking about in this book. Unfortunately, it's about 6 inches thick, and I've checked it out twice. I'm still not done with it. And I can't renew it because it's on hold with somebody else. So I send it back in, and I write myself a note what page I'm on, and then I go back in, and I put it on again, and I'll probably get it again in about a month, so...
That's a tough way to read a book.
Well, I'm pretty good about, I'll review 2 or 3 pages, and I'll think, oh, yeah, that's right, that's where we were.
That's where I was.
And
well,
so
you're definitely using
cool.
the library. I think we were talking before we started recording, and you had mentioned something about the magazines, too.
Right. When I sometimes when I'm down in St. John's, and I'm either going to return a disc or a book, and if the library's open, or I'm waiting for someone, I always say meet me at the library instead of the coffee shop, and I'll go in there and I will grab, my number one choice is always The New Yorker. It's an expensive magazine, but I absolutely, I adore the stories and the cartoons. I just think The New Yorker is marvelous. I'm trying to think of, what I call the slightly sleazy women's magazines, the Ladies' Home Journal and Red Book. And when I was younger, like in my 20s, I devoured Cosmopolitan. I mean, every month. That one I was buying back then. It was like, are you kidding? This will work? No, it won't work.
Let's not go where this is.
Yes. You know, I mean, it was great. But I've never been a Time magazine person. Or Newsweek or any of those. I will sometimes, if there's a copy available, grab a New York Times and read through that. Again, I think I'm looking at money. With the Oregonian kind of going into its demise, a lot of people that I know now take the New York Times daily, and then they take the Portland Tribune for the local stuff. And the Trib covers, you know, what's going on, who's going on, who's singing, what's playing, as well as the Oregonian used to. And so I do like the new size of the Oregonian. It's really so much easier if you're on the bus or on Max to just open the thing
up. Yeah, the tabloid size.
Rather than having to fold it all up. I don't know. What else do I do at the library? I once in a while I have used the computers. If there is something that somehow in the back of the brain it says, oh, you were going to look up blah, 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 And so I will go in there, and I appreciate that there's, I think, one or two computers that you have either a 10 or 15 minute time limit. And that's great, because if all I want to do is look up something, if I can't find it in 15 minutes, you know, then I need to wait for one of the other computers. I wish the St. John's Library was bigger. No, because then they will tear down walls. Don't tear down walls. Walking into the St. John's Library is like walking into home. I mean, it's just, I've just been going there off and on.
So it's been the same building the whole, since you've been a child?
I mean, they've changed things, I'm sure, I guess.
Oh, I'm sure there's been some updating and remodeling.
Right, you know, and they've got computers up here. And they do have classes once in a while. I took one class, was not a very positive experience. It was supposed to teach me how to do Excel so that it would automatically update itself, and I could just like go in and just add something into the spreadsheet and it would add stuff up. And the and there was four or five of us in the class. It was very small, and I'm sorry, but the gentleman who taught the class was horrid. He was arrogant. He was condescending.
Oh.
He made all of us just feel like we were dumber than rocks. I didn't even think about it until after he left. And there was two men and three other women. And I'm just sitting there, and the woman sitting kind of next to me said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "I think he's horrid." I mean, we learned more about his travels and his trips and his expensive motorcycle than
about Excel.
Yeah, and so we just, you know, we did say, the couple of the women and I did say something to one of the librarians and said, this doesn't work, and maybe it's just St. John's women that didn't jive with him, but it was like, and he was older. I mean, he wasn't like a hipster kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was frustrating. The handouts were more valuable than he was. And so I just reread the stuff.
So you got Excel to work?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Sort of.
But I don't use it that much. The other thing that we did at St. John's Library for a while was a Spanish class. Well, it wasn't really Spanish. It was come in, and the first half hour, we're going to speak Spanish. And then the next half hour, or 45 minutes, we're going to speak English. And so my husband and I went, because his Spanish is pretty good and my Spanish is terrible. I took French in high school. That's the most worthless language, unless you're going to France. Or what is it, Quebec? Nobody else speaks, but it's romantic. And when you're 16 and you sign up for a language, French is so romantic. Oh, bosh. But that was fun, because the people that came, it wasn't a class, it was just a gathering.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's called Intercombio.
Is that what it's called? And we went, I don't know, off and on for a couple months, and it was really fun, because after we'd get done doing the Spanish, then I was working with a couple of the guys on working on improving their English,
mm-hmm.
which was basically what I was doing for 14 years when I was in Asia, was along with learning their language, I was trying to get them
teaching English as a second language, more or less.
Right, and teaching writing in English, which was even more difficult.
I spent some time in Mexico, and the library in the little town I was in was very bilingual, and they had a Intercambio where you went for, I want to say it was 2 hours, and the first hour was, you know, English, and the second hour was Spanish, or whichever way it was.
Maybe ours was 2 hours. I never felt like we were there that long.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, because it gave me a chance to practice my Spanish, so I can understand, and it's a free service, so it helps everybody. In fact, it's something I've considered doing here at the Multnomah County Library, because they still have it going.
Right. Well, they had it was a really interesting group of people, and there was about four people who were there every week, and then other people would kind of drift in and out, and you could tell that Spanish speakers were just like totally, completely lost when we flipped to English. And of course, I made them feel good because when they started speaking in Spanish, I was totally, completely lost. You know, but it was a really interesting cultural experience. And why are we not doing it now? Well, because I think it's still on Saturday mornings or early afternoons, and it doesn't fit if they're doing it.
Well, they're doing it, and I've noticed it a couple. They're at different times.
Right.
I don't remember what it is here at the Kent.
Okay.
And I want to say at Killingsworth, it's on a Monday night.
Ah, see, and
like 6 to 7:30 or 7 to 8:30 or something like that in Killingsworth.
Well, so then it depends. You know, how late is your library open? You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, everything's open till 8, I think, on Mondays and Tuesdays. Yeah, they open at noon.
Okay.
On Mondays and Tuesdays till 8.
Yeah. But all I remember is that all of a sudden, because we were tied up with some community things, that the Saturday early afternoon just didn't fit. It's like there's a program called Moyers that is on OPB, and it's on at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. And we practically have to staple something on our door to say, remember, Moyer is on today at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. We need to be home to, and we've missed him for weeks because it's like, no, the weather is beautiful, and who wants to run home and turn on the television? Yuck. So, no, I mean, it's people. What was my best memory of the library is the librarians.
Ah, there's a story.
I mean, they were, as I remember, most of them were women. I don't remember men in the library when I was a kid. And it was like the surrogate grandmother. You know, Gloria, can I help you find something? What are you looking for? You know, I mean, they were very, you know, I mean, they wanted you to read and they wanted you to be comfortable in the library. Now walking into the library, Nancy, everybody loves Nancy out in St. John's. And there's a couple of the guys that work there that sometimes I find myself saying, look at me. I'm talking to you. Stop looking over my head. Thank you. Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, and it's like I thought, okay, you know, you're young. Maybe this is your part-time job and you're a bartender the rest of the time. But the library staff has changed. I don't think they're as caring. And maybe it's because they just don't have the time. That they've got so many other things that they're supposed to be doing.
Oh, I'm sure there's more to do in a library now than there was in the 50s.
Right.
You had to worry about the books and the card catalog, and that was about
it. Card catalog. Oh, geez. You know. Yes, there's where I love computers. I don't even have to go through that.
Yeah, the card catalog, yes.
But no, the St. John's Library was my home. It was my home away from home. Do I use the library? Yes, I still use the library. Do I tell people about the library? I feel like that's a Papa Murphy advertisement. You know, will you come back and buy pizza from us? Yes, I will, because your pizza is the best. But I do. I'm always amazed with people that I meet who are recently in Portland, and it's like they're talking about not being able to find something, and I look at them and say, have you gone to the library? The library? Where's the library? Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the libraries, they're not, well, like the St. John's one is on a little neighborhood street, Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
Killingsworth is
on Killingsworth.
But isn't it called the North Portland Library?
Yeah, it's North Portland Branch.
And it's right on Killingsworth, and it's next to the Jefferson football field?
Yes.
Right, and on the other side of it used to be a funeral home,
which
and it's now McMinimum's.
Yeah.
Everything's now McMinimum's, you know.
Yes, it is.
But a lot of the library, and then the Hollywood Library moved. They're in a fairly new building now. And it's like the Kenton Library. I mean, I'm old. I'm old-fashioned. The old Carnegie Libraries
yeah,
said
they were great.
I am a library. Please come in. And I drove by this library 3 or 4 times. I thought it was just another shop. And finally, one of my friends said, no, there's the sign. And I'm looking, and here's this little sign sticking out. And I thought, oh, that's where the Canton Library is. Not a clue, you know.
And well, you're so zoned in with your own library up in St. John's.
Yeah, but we come to Canton once in a while. I used to come to, there's a Masonic Lodge. It's either that way or that way. Is it that way? Yeah. And so it's like I should have known exactly where the library was. And I didn't, which is kind of embarrassing when you're from Portland, that you should know. I know where the Hollywood Library is. I know where there is one over, in Belmont, and because I've been to it. Certainly the one on Killingsworth, even though there's no parking over there because of PCC. That's a really tough one to find a parking place.
I've got my secret spot.
I don't even want to hear about it. Listen, today is Sunday, and it was crazy enough finding some place to park here because all of the little cafes are open and the shops are open, and it was like, okay, we should have taken Max. I have good memories of the Portland libraries because they've always been helpful. They've never helped me find a job. That was one of the questions that I read, and I thought, interesting.
The previous person, it did help him.
It did.
It did. Okay. Some of the classes he took, it helped him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because back when I was really looking for work. This was when the employment office was really an employment office, and you could go down there and talk to them and go onto their computers. Mm-hmm. And so that was what I used. I never even thought about the library to help me find a job. So I don't know. But at Portland State, we had classes that taught us how to write resumes, what to do, what not to do, what to wear to an interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm back in the dark ages where you wore the navy blue suit, the string of pearls, and low heels, and your skirt went over your knees.
Of course.
No, I have good feelings about the library and the people that work for it. It's always a pleasure to, most of the time, to walk into St. John's, and there's one of the gals and says, you know, you looking for something special? No, I'm just kind of browsing. Gil's in a meeting for another 20 minutes, and I'm just going to hang out here.
Not a bad way to spend 20 minutes.
Well, it is. Rather than going to Plews and having a beer,
yeah,
I go to the St. John's Library.
Well, that is very special that you can walk in and staff know you. That's
yeah.
A personalized sort of greeting.
Right.
Have talked to you in the past to know that.
Right. Well, I think that's because several of the people that work in the St. John's Library live in the community and they're active in the community. You run into them at the farmer's market, or you run into them on a cleanup day or something going on at James John or Roosevelt. And so it's like you're constantly seeing these people. And, you know, at first it's like, where do I know her from? Oh, that's right. She works at the library.
Yeah.
You know.
The face is familiar.
Right, the faces are familiar. Now, where do I know her from? So, but St. John's is a little community. I mean, we used to be our own city.
Yeah, it's tucked in there.
Yes, yes. We've already, you know, I belong with a group called NET, which is the Neighborhood Emergency Team. And we have these meetings once a month. And when people from other parts of the city come, because we do informationals about preparations and what you should have and not have.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy from the Pearl, he said, you know, I don't understand why you guys are so laid back about this whole thing. We said, listen, the earthquake hits. It's going to take out the St. John's Bridge. It's going to take out the 3 bridges that go over the railroad cut. And baby, nobody's going to get in here, and nobody's going to get out. And we've got Fred Meyer, Safeway, Grocery Outlet, and a couple convenience stores. We're set for at least a month. And he's, this guy is just, he was like, you're kidding. And I said, okay. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, because we talk about it. You know, when the water thing, you know, the big, ooh, the water, don't drink the water. I didn't hear about it. And I had, because I was on my way to Fred Meyer to pick up weekly groceries, and I pulled into the lot, and it's packed with people.
Buying water.
And I thought, what is, and people, carts.
Of water.
Bottles of water. And I thought, what is going on? Well, by the time I got in the store, the water was all gone. And this one guy says, well, we're all out. And I said, hey, pretend you're in Mexico, drink beer. And the guy said, I like her. I like her. And he says, you can brush your teeth with beer. And I said, but because I am prepared, I have water at home. But I thought it was just incredible that people don't at least have a gallon or two in their back shelf
or
pantry.
Everybody should.
It was just, people were buying Perrier to brush their teeth. No. I mean, the growing up in Portland, the library is part of growing up in Portland.
It is.
I mean, and if your parents or your teachers have not introduced you to the library, they all do. I mean, I think that was one of the first things I heard about when I moved up to Northern Washington. And I was an adult, was that people in the grocery would say, so what do you know about the town? Well, I'm learning. Well, you know, the library is about four blocks down. You know, I mean, it was like, this is one of the main things in the community is your local library.
I think I heard one of the other interviewees say that this is the second most used system in the country.
Is it really?
Second only to New York.
Wow.
Second only to New York. That's how important Multnomah County Library is to the patrons of this fine city.
So. I have a picture of myself in front of the lions at the New York City Library entrance.
Yeah, the famous lions.
Right. I mean, it was like I had some, take my picture with the lion. They're going, what? Take my picture with the lion. Times Square and the lion. That proves I was in New York. So... And the library there was really, it was like the Library of Congress, walking in and going, oh, wow. But I love the little libraries. I mean, I love St. John's and the North Portland.
Well, you can get anything by putting it on hold and it'll show
right.
up.
Right. Well, see, that's
so
what's...
So you don't have to go to another library
right.
if you choose
not
to.
Well, see, that's what's so neat right now, is that if you order something and it's not in your closest branch that you've checked to pick it up, it will get there
mm-hmm.
eventually. And so that is absolutely wonderful.
We're kind of winding down here. Is there anything else you'd like to add? This has been
this is interesting.
Yeah, is there anything else that you can think of?
I can hardly wait to get my little thumb drive and and tell my kids, all right, you guys, go to the library website. Mom's on there. I hope that many people, young and old, have good memories and good feelings, past and present, about going into the library or going online and finding something that you'd really like to read. Why in heaven's name should I spend $30 on a cookbook when I can order it from the library and thumb through and then make copies of the one or two recipes that I want
mm-hmm.
rather than having this huge enormous book that I look at and say, you haven't even opened that thing yet. And so, no, I mean, it's a lot of things our taxpayer dollars don't do, but I don't think I've ever voted against a library issue or a library bond or anything. What do you mean they're not going to be open 7 days a week? Are you kidding me? So, no. I mean, it's the library to me is money incredibly well spent.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Gloria. We appreciate you coming in on this glorious Sunday.
Yes, it is beautiful out.
And just have a great day.